Hey, welcome to the Off Leash Podcast with Dr. Pete. I'm Dr. Pete. Hey, we're glad you joined us for today's edition. And just to let you know, we're here to be sharing information and be advocate for your pet's good health, be it dog or cat or whatever.
That's right. Information and peace of mind.
Yep.
We were just down at the Michigan Animal, what is it? Michigan Veterinary Convention. No,
Midwest Veterinary Convention.
That's right.
In Columbus, Ohio, which used to be the OVMA meeting, Ohio Veterinary Medical Association. But they call it the Midwest meeting now, and it's the same folks in the same building, for that matter. And every year I go down usually, and I kind of get together with my friends. Some are in the, actually most of them are in the veterinary business, either on one side or the other, either pharmaceutical or we have one guy that I hang out with that sold us computer equipment, and then veterinary friends. And in fact, you know who I ran into? I don't know if I told you this. I ran into, when I was in college, I was in a band. So the drummer of the band was there.
I met the drummer of your band.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
He's a real character.
He is a character.
Don Heiner. Yeah, he's a good guy. Anyway, I ran into him. And we were in a rock and roll band in veterinary school, and we were called Crypt Orchid.
And the Unhung.
And the Unhung, that's right. The Crypt. So those of you who don't know, Crypt Orchid's a testicle that doesn't fall into the scrotal sac.
I thought it was a testicle that just had one testicle drop.
Well, it can be that, but it doesn't. It's not in the scrotal sac. It could be both of them. It could be one of them.
Is this just a veterinary term, or is this just a medical term in general?
You know, I'm not a pediatrician, but I imagine that if a pediatrician sees a five-year-old kid with one testicle in the scrotal sac, the kid's a crypt orchid. That's my guess. And listen, so and I don't know if I want to talk about this or not, but so what happens is they're either up in the inguinal ring, or they actually can be inside right behind your kidney. So in those cases, you got to do it like a dog's pee, except you're going after a testicle.
Do you ever do this? Like, do you ever perform surgery on dogs for this?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and every once in a while, I get somebody who wants me to put, every once in a while, somebody wants me to put glass testicles back in. So just for
What?
Yeah, well, you know, to put prosthesis in, you know.
Just so that they look like they have balls?
Yeah, like they have testicles. Anyway, so we get to see that every once in a while. Usually the testicles up in the inguinal ring is usually kind of smaller than the other one. And but anyway, I was in this band, Crypt Orchid and the Unhung. We played, we actually learned five songs, and by the time we left high school, I think we knew between 60 and 80 songs, something like that. Some we knew real well, some we didn't. We didn't do Stairway to Heaven.
So what was the Unhung?
There was a girl in the band.
Oh.
She was the Unhung. So
makes sense.
Was a very, very good guitar player.
Okay, so you were the singer.
I was a singer. I was the front man. And we
she was the guitar player.
Yep, we had John Boyce. He was in, he's in regulatory medicine now. He was the organ player. He had a really nice setup. He had a Leslie speaker that spun around in a wooden box. And then we had a bass player, Norman Bazaar, and Don Heinert, and myself. And we'd go out and do things like, you know, we went north and played, we went up and played a ski lodge. And we didn't know what that was going to be like.
Did you play at Boyne?
Yeah, we played at Boyne.
Really?
Yeah. So we played at Boyne Mountain, and we got there, and we got on stage, we did our first set, and then they came on and said, well, the next set's going to be a wet t-shirt contest and for K2 skis. So we actually did 50 songs for our middle set, and so we came out to do this. And we didn't do any of the 50 set. We just did Gloria by the Shadows of Night for about 45 or 50 minutes over and over and over. And if you know the song, as the song goes on, the lyrics are kind of suggestive, just the regular three-minute song or four-minute song, whatever. But we had very suggestive. This thing just got. But before I tell you more, I'm going to tell you how she spelled her name, and then we do it over and over and over and over again. So listen, the drummer, he got a big kick out of it. I got a big kick out of it. The bass player got a big kick out of it. The preacher's kid who played the organ didn't get a big kick out of it, and the Unhung, she did not get a big kick out of it. So it was kind of an odd ride home that night. But we got to. We had quite the experience. Some kid actually did a chin-up on a pipe in the back of the building. It was kind of a long building, and they had peanut shells on the floor and everything.
Yeah.
And this kid pulled on the pipe so he could see other people's endowments. Yeah, and so he breaks the pipe, so the place floods. So they're still giving the K2 skis away. The place is flooding. There's peanut shells floating around on the floor in an inch of water. And so they came out and tried to clean it up and everything. And then we came out and did our last set. There was almost nobody there for the last set.
Because it flooded.
Everybody, it was flooded and everybody'd seen what they came to see. And then I got the cold shoulder on the way home because these guys were worked up about it. Anyway, another instance of poor judgment on my part.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You get paid to do these events?
We got paid, yeah. Yeah, we get paid to do this, yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it was kind of like the Blues Brothers without, except it was a girl in the band, so.
I thought you were in a band called Pete and the Panties.
No, that's a different thing. That's
you were in a different band?
No, I was in a, that was a thing I did, I recorded some stuff when I was at the Orlando show 1 year with your mother and a couple other people, Pete and the Panties. You go into a booth and just do this stuff, it's just... You know,
did you have backup singers?
Kind of fancy. No, it's, yeah, they were the fan. Yeah, it was kind of like karaoke stuff.
Okay.
Except you get a tape to take home and show your friends.
That's funny.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. It's usually what happens if you're just a teensy weensy bit overserved and you do this sort of stuff and then.
That's all right.
And then have regrets later on. You know, I will tell you this one, we played. I mean, we played seriously, so we didn't drink during the whole thing until the last set we drank. Usually one drink. You know, starting in the middle of the last set. So So we were getting paid for it, so we took it serious. And we tried to take things serious, you know, when if you're getting paid for it, you ought to take it serious. And we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We changed the words to stuff, and that was always kind of weird. We changed the words typically in the back of one of the Creedence songs. It's hope you've got your things together, hope you're quite prepared to die. Of course, we sang, hope you've got your shit together, hope you're quite prepared to die. And then the other Creedence song was Proud Mary. If you come down to the river, bet you're going to find some women who give. If you have no money, you don't have to worry. Women on the river are happy to give. We sing stuff like that. And you get off stage, and then people come, I didn't know that was the words to that song.
Like, it's like, not. Oh, it's we not. Changed it.
We're just idiots doing stuff, and you're overserved, which is why you didn't realize it was the wrong words. Anyway.
Did everyone get a kick out of that?
I don't know if they got a kick out of it. You know, I think in general, if you're going to be in a band, you ought to have a good time.
Have fun with it?
Yeah, have fun with it. And do the sort of things you like to do and they like to hear and dance to. So that's the one thing I've, and this is what somebody in our band, well, maybe we should learn Stairway to Heaven. No, it's going to take a week to learn it. And quite frankly,
it's a hard song to learn.
Yeah, and it's not a headbanging thing anyway. Yeah. So let's just play the stuff we like, you know, Rascals, all that stuff. And the 50s stuff was always fun. Some other time I'll show you the choreography on some of the stuff we did, which was
still waiting for you to find very that juvenile. CD.
Yeah.
The CD that you recorded.
Can't tell you when that's going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So anyway, we're down at the Midwest Vet Conference.
Yep. I went to Cap City with my friends, and we always have meatloaf every time we go, and Cap City has great meatloaf, and usually have chocolate cake or carrot cake, one of the two.
Yeah.
And it's so big you can't eat it, so you have to split it with three or four of you, something like that. So that's always fun.
Yeah. You sent me a picture of the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
We went out for ice cream instead.
Yeah. Well, the two of them would have gone together well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So anyway, you get to, you know, and I think sometimes, I'm not sure everybody thinks about this, but a lot of times we're learning things while we're talking with our friends at night about, you know, we had this, I did that.
Veterinarian war stories.
I saw this. Yeah, this is what we did. This is how we marketed this. This is how we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're going to learn stuff. Ideas are ideas. You take them home, and if they work, great. And if they don't, you don't do it again.
Well, let's hop into our first segment with that. Old dogs, new tricks.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, this is probably going to be old cats, new tricks, because I went to a thing on house training or elimination, soiling, cat soiling in your house. And a woman at one time had 10 cats in her house. So she was very aware of what happens, what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, the rule of thumb, and I didn't know this, and I've been doing this for a long time, that a cat box is supposed to be 1.5 times the length of your cat. So, and we have these robots that our cats use. And
I have a kitty litter robot. Yeah, they're so nice because you change the kitty litter box once every week, every two weeks.
Well, something like that, every week probably. Well, at our house more than that. But,
yeah, because you got more cats.
But a lot of cats won't like it because it doesn't have a real big space for them.
No, it's very
small. So that's what they say. They like a bigger space. But those cats will get in there and use that. And, of course, then it rotates and all the stuff goes to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that robot works for our cat. And that was kind of the take home, was that not everything's going to work for every cat. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do. You know what? I'll tell you, one of the things people do, if they have multiple cats, they get what's called a catio. Have you heard of that before?
No.
Catio is where you have a door that goes outside your house into a usually an enclosed area, like with a screening or whatever all over. And you go buy yourself a decent-sized dollhouse, and you put the cats can go outside and get in the dollhouse. They're actually outside, so they get to go outside, and if they want to, you know, a lot of them like to go to the bathroom outside. So they'll go out and go to the bathroom outside. It doesn't need to be real big. We're in a room that would really suit most cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably a 10 by 12 or a 12 by 12, something like that. That'd be...
And they like being outside.
They do. And they like watching the butterflies and the birds and that sort of thing. So
my old cat loved killing birds.
Yep.
Just for fun.
Yep.
Wouldn't even... Why is that?
I don't know.
Just the predator.
Yep, predator thing, yeah.
Well, now the new cat that I have, she gets so mad. I think I trained her because she likes the pate. Little things that you peel open.
Kind of creamed up.
Yeah, because she doesn't like dry kibble. And so I give her these little pate things, and she will just constantly meow now until I give her one.
Yeah.
And she'll get mad when I don't.
You remember I was talking about the meatloaf?
Yeah.
It came with broccoli on the side. And we ate the broccoli, but it wasn't the thing we enjoyed. You know, so, cats and dogs, they like to eat what they like to eat. Mm-hmm. And so the more palatable it is. You know, and just for the record, the broccoli's better for you than the meatloaf. So we always have chosen inappropriately, and they do the same thing.
Yeah. So the pate makes them fat?
If that's all you're going to give them, they would get fat on that if you gave it to them until they were tired of it.
Well, now she's got me trained because every time I go downstairs, I hear meow, 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 until I put one of those things down, and then she shuts up.
Oh, you should ask for a maid's outfit for Christmas next year. Yep.
I feel like that. I feel like this cat runs my life. So soiling for cats, that's what we learned about.
Yeah,
that was one of the big takeaways.
Yeah, we can have a thing someday where we talk about that, the medications they use and how to go about it. You know, it's kind of a step-by-step-by-step. I know we mostly talk about dogs, but we can talk about cats someday about that.
Great.
Okay.
Let's hop right into Canine Chronicles.
Well, Canine Chronicles.
We can talk about actually what I got going on.
Which is what?
I just dropped my dog off at surgery this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going on. It's not dog world news, but it's
your dog news.
It's news in my world for my dogs.
As a coronide, so you've got a little...
She has a rare form of elbow dysplasia.
Yep.
Tell me about this.
Well, elbow dysplasia is a laxity in that joint. And then
is a laxity?
You know, where there's
Dumb it down for me.
There's a little slop in there.
Okay, so they're just not connecting.
Yeah, well, in other words, it's like a ball bearing where a couple of the ball bearings are out, so there's a little more... There's a little more play in there, and so it's not as tightly put together as you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And you own, let's put the record straight, you own a Labrador Retriever, and they're sort of the poster child for coronoids. So you're having that surgically repaired by a specialist today.
Yep.
And the problem with these guys is they don't always, this isn't 100%, this would be great. This is like 80%, this would be great.
Yep. That was what they told me before the surgery. That was the hard part of choosing if I wanted to do the surgery or not. As he said, there was a 20% chance that you could get this surgery done and it will do absolutely nothing for the dog.
Just let's put this in perspective, though. This is an 8 or 9 month old dog, you know, with another 12 years ahead of it. So you'd like to go ahead, and if you have a chance to have good health, you'd like to have good health if you could.
Right.
Excuse me.
I feel bad for people that, I mean, obviously adopt a dog or something like that. Obviously, I bought this dog as a hunting dog. So she has a purpose, but people that get dogs that have this happen.
I have to tell you, Molly, I think this happens all the time. You had a dog that had eopan, which is growing pains, that was just below the elbow. And then you had another dog that actually fractured a little thing between the elbows where they didn't grow together right. And you had another dog that has hip dysplasia.
Yeah, but I haven't had to pay for a surgery yet.
No, but listen, the hip dysplasia, if I were you, you have hip dysplasia that you really can't do a lot about, but you have this coronoid or elbow dysplasia that you can do something about.
Right.
So you're doing that. And so I guess I have a lot of years under my belt, and so I look at this as like, you know, let's just go ahead and do this. You know, I had a guy in yesterday, and he had a year-old dog that ruptured his ACL. That's actually pretty young to rupture your ACL, which stands for anterior cruciate ligament. And he says he read about having it fixed, and he was kind of bemoaning this and this and this and this. I'm like, okay, dude, here's what we do. And I said, just stand there. He says, okay. He said, take a big deep breath, which he did. And then I said, tell me you're going to go ahead and fix your dog's stifle, okay? And he says, I'm going to fix my dog's stifle. So we got everything started. He's probably going to get it done a week or two from now, but that's what you have to do. You know, we always kind of take these things on, and people should all know this. If you're going to take something on, in my opinion, when something happens, if you've got the means to fix it, by all means do. And those dogs, you know, they give you an awful lot of affection and stuff. This is your chance to pay it back on some of them. Hopefully, this doesn't happen very often, but we see this all the time where a dog jumps off a bench or a couch or something like that, gets a green stick fracture in his front leg, has to have it splinted or maybe even surgically repaired, depending upon how bad it is. But you know what? You just fix it. Do the best you can. Get the best person you can to fix it. That's the other thing. That's what you did. I think there's people that would have probably done the surgery for you, but you got
the best.
Yeah.
Could you do the surgery?
No. You know, given time, I could. I mean, but this is the guy who does that surgery.
Yeah.
That's it. This is the guy. And he was at Michigan State University. Now he's in private practice. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that does that surgery. So what you did was you were lucky. You got dealt a face card on blackjack. So you have a chance to have a good hand here because mm-hmm. you got a face card. So this is not time to fold your cards. It's time to hope you get another face card or an ace, one of the two. And if you get another face card or an ace, that's fine. If you get a four, that's we're too bad. You could still win, but let's see what happens.
Right. Yeah, and I want to do whatever's best for her.
She's a nice dog.
That's the thing.
She's actually, of the dogs you have right now, she is the nicest.
She is just a sweetheart.
Yep, so do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so Molly and I had this conversation. She's like, well, this is going to cost a lot of money. So you're investing in, you train dogs, you're investing in what you do. You're training dogs, and so you invested in this dog, making this dog sound.
Yeah.
So let's hope that turns out that way.
Yeah. What do you think about pet insurance?
I think it's a good thing. You know, I talked to a friend of mine who works at Colorado State, and he has pet insurance out there because where he lives is a, it's kind of a Tony area.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, people with a lot of money, and to be someplace where people have a lot of money, costs a lot of money, where they have a lot of money. So if you're going to live in an upscale area, you know, probably insurance isn't a bad idea, because when the insurance people sell you the insurance, they're not trying to figure out what the veterinary costs are in that community. They just sell you insurance.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be real expensive to have certain things done, buy insurance.
Yeah, this is a situation where I wish I had pet insurance.
Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, this happens all the time. People get insurance, they don't need it. They don't have insurance, they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I guess
you're going to insure the house from burning down, then you insure the house from burning down. So.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, we are going to skip the client report today because Ben left. He's got wedding planning to do.
Yeah.
I have never heard so much go into wedding planning. I have a bunch of friends getting married right now, and I did not realize how extensive the planning is for these things.
Well, and everything has to go off without a hitch, and so.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love, though? I love that all of my friends are putting their dogs in their wedding.
Well, good.
They're having the dogs as like the ring bearers or some type of thing. I don't know. I love that. I love seeing the videos on social media of people with their dogs walking down the aisle. Did you have your dog in your wedding?
Nope, I didn't have my dog in the wedding.
No.
You got married
in a church, though.
Yeah, I didn't negotiate a hell of a lot in my wedding. No. I just showed up sober as can be, and we did it.
I actually just heard, Mom got out pictures of your wedding the other day.
Yep.
And she said that you sang a song at your wedding.
No, we'll stay out of that.
No, I want to hear about it.
No, we'll stay out of that. We'll bring that up another time. So we've talked about enough nonsense with my poor judgment. So
no, I want to hear about the song.
Sang it at my sister's wedding. That's what I did.
At your sister's wedding?
Yes, that's where I sang it.
You didn't sing it at your wedding?
Jimmy Soul song called "If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life." So people, I'm not going to sing any of this for you, but you can look it up. Jimmy Soul, "If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life." 1963.
You finished the lyric. It's pretty funny.
It's a damn good song. So if you want to listen to it, you're going to listen.
Is it Go Ahead and Make an Ugly Woman Your Wife?
Well, yeah. Maybe she's ugly. Her eyes don't match. Take it from me. She's a better catch. And then there's another little thing in there where the guy goes, yeah, so are you with you? And she's ugly. He says, she may be ugly, but she sure can cook.
You sang that at Mary's wedding?
At Mary's wedding.
Was she pissed? Right.
No, it was all fun. Everybody had enough to... Everybody was imbibed by then. So,
I don't think it surprises her.
But the band had a good time. I think I was singing. This was not karaoke crap. This was with a real band. And they got a big kick out of it. They thought it was fun.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, I went up and learned it. I mean, I already knew the song, but they didn't know the song. So I had to go to a recording studio and we learned it, you know, 2 or 3 days before the wedding.
Wow.
I put a lot of thought into my activities.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yep.
Well, that's a perfect segment into our next section, rock and roll history.
Sure.
Which we were just talking about.
Yep.
And you made me play this song at Game Fair, a trade show that we go to up in Minnesota.
Okay. Turn her up.
Tell me about
this song. Okay. If you don't know about this song, this is Bob Seger's first song.
First song ever?
Yeah, first song that was recorded. And it was popular.
An original?
It was popular when I was a freshman in college. And my friends, actually my roommates, really loved this song because they played a lot downtown Detroit. And if you didn't know, Bob Seger is from the Detroit area.
So this is Bob Seger and the Last Herd. Is that
H-E-A-R-D. Yeah, Bob Seger and the Last Herd.
Is this a separate band with Bob Seger?
Well, this is Bob Seger just called his band different things. Bob Seger System, Bob Seger and the Last Herd, Bob Seger Experience or whatever it was. I can't remember. He named his band 1967, probably 1967. But this is a video. If you get on and look at it, there's a video. And quite frankly, you'll have a hard time telling which one's Bob Seger, other than I will tell you that he's the one singing lead on this. So it was about the essence of the story is that Bob wants to rob somebody, so he takes a knife out to rob somebody, and the guy's got a gun. So it's one of those tragic songs where Bob's out and ends up deader than a doornail because we went to a. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, it's a fun song. You should play it sometime. And it kind of, for me, it brings back memories. Most people are going to listen to this and go, boy, this is hokier than the devil. But anyway, later on, here you are. Now, this is Night Moves by Bob Seger. And this is
I love this song.
Yeah, he's a much, you know, this is a much more sophisticated Bob Seger and he even looks different. In the other one, he has kind of a French beret on or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Reinvented himself by this point.
Yep. Well, Bob, as far as I know, he may still be out touring. And I don't know if you know who his best friend was during these times was Glenn Frey of the Eagles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he and Glenn Frey were big buddies, and they did a lot together, which
did
maybe,
they ever have a song together?
I don't know. They probably did. You know, they would. So that happened a lot back in the day. You would be in a recording studio, and what they'd have is they'd have studio one, studio two, you know, on and on and on. Those guys would go in there and sing backup for each other, and do stuff or harmony.
Yeah.
So Bob Seger and Glenn Frey were good friends, and probably it was good, you know, for Glenn to actually, you know, bounce stuff off Bob Seger. Bob Seger was notorious for being, he was the guy in the band, and so it was always, the Eagles were not the Glenn Frey Experience, they were the Eagles. So yeah. Anyway.
I love the Eagles too.
Good song, yep.
When did he write this song? What year?
Oh, this is still probably college, maybe 72, 73, something like that, probably, yep.
It doesn't tell me on here.
Nope. Yeah, anyway, I would guess in that area, yep.
Do you know any history about this song?
No, not really. Nope, I don't know much history. I've not read the story on this one. But generally, those guys write a lot of their own stuff. And although I don't think they wrote that East Side Story, and for those of you that might know, there was a TV movie, West Side Story. So this was kind of a play off that somebody wrote. Yep.
Love Bob Seger.
Yep.
All right. Now we are getting into the information and peace of mind segment. So speaking of anxious dogs. We have one. We have one in the room. She just calmed down.
Yeah. So we see. So and of course they talked a little bit about that anxious dogs and of course you run a veterinary clinic and you're going to have anxious dogs coming in your clinic and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, we got a question from that today. Yeah. Dr. Pete's in the office. Someone said, "How do I get my dog to settle down in the vet office?"
Yeah. What you have to have is you have to have a positive experience. Now it's going to be hard to do that if you're scheduling them for an anal gland expression and a nail trim. So, but we always try to give them treats after we get done doing all these procedures and pet them and try to make sure that they, understand who you are. I think probably one of the biggest things I ever learned to do is I walk in a room and we have a chair in the room. So the client very frequently, the client's sitting in the chair. So I walk in and I sit on a stool. So I'm not standing over the client. There's nothing worse than walking in that room and walking up to the client sitting in a chair and the dog's thinking, this idiot's going to try to do something to my gal or my guy here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things we talk about. And of course, you know, a lot of those pets have been in for neutering or hysterectomies and stuff. So that leaves a bad taste in their mouth.
My dog Sage used to have bad anxiety in the clinic. And you know how I fixed it?
Oh.
I just bring her in.
Yep.
And not do anything.
Sure.
I don't know if people are allowed to do that at their vet clinics. Probably.
You know,
if you just bring the dog in and sit in the lobby and give him treats.
Yeah, sometimes what you do is you bring him in and weigh him because a lot of times people are trying to figure out whether the dog's overweight or not.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of scales in there. I don't think most veterinarians would be happy to have you come in and weigh your dog and record the weight for the record. And especially if you're trying to get it on or get it off, you know, the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really good thing. But we've gotten now to where we have protocols, medical protocols to do this involving melatonin, gabapentin, trazodone, all those sorts of things. So there is a recipe.
When I was at Global Pet last year, they were toting this product that had valerian root in it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to calm dogs down. What do you think about that?
Well, I think if you get a really bad actor, you're wasting your time. I think real problems require real drugs frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And what we always usually do is we kind of require the clients to try a dry run of this at home. So this usually involves, for instance, if you got a 10 o'clock appointment in the morning, we start medication the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of get these guys mellowed down. Does it work on every dog? No. It doesn't work on every dog. But it lessens the anxiety.
Right.
Because we got dogs that need to come in the back door because they can't even be with the general population. Then we have to figure out a way to get a little dextromethor or anything in them because we're going to do something. The client wants their ears cleaned and the nails trimmed and all this stuff. And
yeah. And
we can't have anybody getting hurt. So for what it's worth, folks, if you're a veterinarian, and listen, we all have employees and they're all on workman's comp policies. and if we have to sew fingers on and stick eyeballs back in because we weren't careful. That's why we need to be careful. And right now we use muzzles and a few things like that to get along with dogs. But, you know, most of the time you just take your time. In fact, the one thing that I think you'll probably be mystified about is the fact that when you take these dogs, and lots of times they say, we're gonna vaccinate your dog and we're going to go ahead and get a heartworm check, but we're going to do that in the back room. And the client's like, well, you know, I wish I could be here when you did all that. And it's like, actually, I wish you weren't here when we do that, because quite frankly, when you're here and the dog are in the same room, that dog thinks you're going to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And the minute the client is out of sight, we're not being mean to him or anything, the dog has decided, you know, it's like me at the neighbor's house when I was a kid. You know, I sure didn't have a potty mouth over there because that was not tolerated. Really wasn't tolerated at our house. But, you know, I was on my best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mrs. Dieterman. The corned beef hash was delicious or whatever we had, even if it wasn't. Boy, that was really good, blah, blah, blah. I was like Eddie Haskell. I don't know if you know who Eddie Haskell is, but he was a guy in Leave It to Beaver who was sickeningly polite to Beaver Cleaver's mother. But that's and that's referred as the Eddie Haskell act, you know, just always complimentary and everything. But you get them back there, and then what you do is you do what you got to do, and if they and they just pet them and be nice to them and say, oh, you were a good dog today,
mm-hmm.
and try to make it a positive thing for them.
Yeah, so try to make it a positive thing.
Yeah, Yeah, this happens all the time. Lots of times we'll get done doing the vaccines or doing whatever I got to do, and I'll go to give the dog a treat, and she'll go, oh, he loves treats. And then I'll hand this treat to the dog, and I sometimes tease the client and say, so he'll love this. It's got heroin in it, but it does not, you understand? And so I'll go to give them to him. He puts it in his mouth and drops it, or she puts it in her mouth and drops it. The minute I walk out of the room to go get medication or something like that to come back, the treat's gone, and now she's looking for another treat. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of get used to that sort of behavior. And so you try to make it as positive as you can. They have this thing called fear-free, you know, and that kind of goes overboard in my estimation, where they bring treats in the room, or, you know, where they bring treats down the hall and stuff, and the dog walks down the hall and eats the treats. That's a little over the top. But, you know, try to make it, and really for the dogs that are really bad actors and difficult to deal with, give them a little Dextromethor, you know, which are, you know, propofol or something like that. They're asleep when you're doing it. It's not all this anxiety. They wake up and they're kind of in a stupor. So when they walk out of this thing, they're not too bad.
I don't think that scars them when you...
No, but you have to understand why there is anxiety with dogs. And some, there's all sorts of anxieties, separation anxiety when you leave the house and go to work or something like that. So that happens when you get dogs frequently that have been in shelters, or maybe like in your case, you go and get a dog from a breeder, and then you start training the dog, then you let the owner have it for 6 weeks, and then it comes back to you, and then you train it for another 2 or 3 months, then you give it back to the owner. And so the dog has anxiety. It's like, I'm living here, I'm living there.
Yeah, you know, dogs like consistency.
Yeah, they like consistency, and they want to know, you know, in fact, they want to have the same treat every day, just like your cat, and they want to have the same life experience every day. They want to, you know, like, we got your dog right now, and she comes in and lets my wife know when it's time to feed her.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yep. On a timer.
Yeah, she's on a timer, and she's not far off either. You know, 6:17 every day, she's like, okay, where's the chow, man?
Yeah, and she stands by the bin.
And the days are getting longer, so she just has she's got some sort of an alarm clock on her. But anyway, so it's that, and in some cases, like the when they were in the shelter, they were with dogs that were fighting with them, you know, so they just don't, they're anxious about being put in a bad situation again. Mm-hmm. And they don't even give the situation a chance to turn into what it turns into. But if they've been in like they're a rescue dog and they've been 2 or 3 different places and somebody brought them back because they bit a kid or, you know, did something like that.
Sometimes it takes a while for them to get adjusted.
So that's what they have to get. They have to become confident.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And you have to show them positive reinforcement all the time, all the time. And once they get to where they trust everybody in the house, and I mean everybody, the kids, the other dogs, everything. It's when they get to where they trust everybody, then all of a sudden they start to work their way out of it. But this may take years. Now, you can use drugs, fluoxetine, which is, what do we call that? What is fluoxetine? I only know it's fluoxetine anymore.
What does it do?
Well, it's what they use for anxieties.
Oh.
You know,
like an anti-anxiety?
Yeah, amitriptyline, which is also called Elavil. Sometimes we use those two drugs together. You know, we use other drugs.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3 drugs. And lots of times, you know, I really prefer not to use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Really prefer not to use drugs. But
right.
Sometimes you have to have a little bit of an aid. And then you get them on 3 or 4 months, and lots of times you can kind of wean them back off again.
So I've noticed that anxiety, at least with the dogs that I have, because I train labs, I've seen so much more anxiety in the chocolates.
Yep.
And I don't know why.
That's accurate.
They're so high strung all the time. Like the one dog that I have, Ella, she just cannot lay down.
Nope.
But I mean, she listens the best. She hunts the hardest out of all of them. But she's just go, go, go all the time.
Yep. Yeah, and those dogs slow down about 15 or 20 minutes before they die of old age.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
that's when you know it's over.
Yeah, that's when you know it's over, yeah. When they're not panting.
I know.
This is bad.
The other day, I ran her so hard, and we got back to the house, and she laid down, and I was like, is she okay? I almost called you because I was actually concerned for a little
bit. They'll work themselves into us. I mean, that's always the problem with those guys. They don't know when to quit.
No, she'll retrieve till she's dead.
Yep.
The lake was iced over the other day, and there's like a little, you've been down to the lake, the little bobber thing that's supposed to hold one of those floating pads that you put out in the water. Ella always thinks that it's a bumper. So whenever she's out and about, she sees it and she runs out there, and she was breaking through 2 inches of ice at least trying to get out to this thing.
Well, be careful.
I know. I'm like, she's going to kill herself trying to get out to retrieve something.
So the fluoxetine, that's Prozac. Fluoxetine and Prozac are the same thing. So yeah, there's drugs you can use. And then there's this chill protocol. If you get a dog that has a lot of anxieties, go into the veterinarian's office and you just get ask for the chill protocol. Most people have what they call a chill protocol.
Yeah.
And you'll have to see how it works. And it doesn't always work, but you try to make it as pleasant an experience as you can. Some dogs, and I'm sure people are watching this right now, the minute I pull in the veterinarian's office, my dog's like, oh, not here. You know, but yes, it is here.
Yeah.
But try to make it as positive as you can.
And it's funny because there's different types of anxieties. There's like veterinary anxiety, but like when I take Ella to the vet, she never has anxiety over the vet. She's just excited all the time. I think she just has anxiety when she's not doing something.
Yep.
When she's just sitting still, she has that shaky.
Well, there's people like that always have to have something to do.
Yeah, yep. That's her.
You want to sit down and watch Law and Order? No, I got stuff to do. I should tell our folks this so that clients come in all the time and say, "Do you watch Animal Planet?" And I'm like, "Hell no, I don't watch Animal Planet." We just had 9 hours of Animal Planet. I go home and watch Law and Order. And I said, I let the police watch Animal Planet. They watch Animal Planet. I watch Law and Order.
Yeah. So I thought you watched, what's that crime series?
Yeah, Law and Order.
No, it's not Law and Order. It's, oh my goodness. You always say, I'm going to do your wife in.
Oh, Dateline.
Dateline.
Yeah.
That's what you always say, I'm going to do Sharon in.
Your mother's been close to being a 2-hour episode of that from time to time. So.
I don't know. She's got
What happened that fateful night?
She's got a bobcat. She'd bury you.
Yeah, I know.
But you have.
And a permit to carry. I don't have either one of those, a bobcat or a permit to carry. Yeah. So
you have a.
I probably should behave myself better.
You have access to drugs.
Sure.
Any type of drug.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Controlled substances.
Because veterinarians can buy everything. They can buy people drugs, they can buy animal drugs.
Funny.
But the MDs can only buy their stuff. They can't go buy HeartGuard or Frontline.
Really?
Or
that's so weird. Well, don't
Revector.
A lot of human drugs transfer to
Well, usually
dog
what
drugs?
Happens is, I mean, it kind of goes both ways. So you,
I think a lot
so
of
they,
people
they'll
ask
use
me
something.
That.
They'll use something. They'll be testing something, and it'll crap out in the human population. So then they'll figure out there's like pulmonary hypertension. We use that for dogs. We use Viagra for dogs for that. So,
really?
Yeah, that's what we use. Yeah.
Huh.
So we get to buy Viagra and give it to dogs for pulmonary hypertension. But
do people know when they get it, it's listed as
it's
Viagra?
Did they rename it
for the dogs?
Actually, they make a generic now, so we use the generic, yes. Sildenafil.
So people aren't just getting it like, what the hell, you have Viagra for my dog for?
No, I know.
That's funny.
Yep.
All right.
And well, minoxidil is a hypertension drug, you know, the stuff to make your hair grow. Mine's already grown. But
a nice head of hair.
So that was a side effect when they were using that drug.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they use that on dogs for hair growth?
Yeah, minoxidil, not Viagra, minoxidil.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do they use it for dogs? No, we don't use it in dogs at all for that. But that was what it was for people. It didn't cut it in the hypertension business, but it cut it for grown hair.
That's so weird.
That's what they used it for. Huh. And really, the Viagra was an accident too because.
That was originally for some heart.
Yeah, that was a blood pressure gig too. And really what happened is pulmonary hypertension. And what happened is they were doing the trial and they had signed up six men and six women, and they had to take the pill the morning when they were going to go in and get all their pressures measured. And only the six women showed up and only one of the guys showed up. And I'm like, I wonder why the guys didn't show up. You know, this is like in the early days. And it's like, well, the guys didn't want to go in and wear a gown around all day with an erection.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's supposedly the story that occurred. So,
and nothing happened to the women?
Well, they thought, well, this is too bad. Now, I don't know what happened to the women. I wasn't there. And but I do know that they decided, well, that's too bad. This is the end of this drug. And then somebody must have laid in bed one night and thought, you know what? Maybe there is an application for this. And so they,
so
that drug ended up having a life of its own, still does.
Crazy.
Yep. And one time we had a salesman from Pfizer, and he would hand out ties that had the little blue pill on the tie.
Yeah.
Really nice silk tie with Viagra pills on it.
That's funny.
Yep.
All right. We're going to wrap it up into our last little segment, which is label lies. I have a very simple one for you today. I tried to find a very organic treat, and I wanted to know your opinion on it. First ingredient, chicken.
Fine.
Organic cane sugar.
Probably fine. I don't know what organic cane sugar is, but it's cane sugar, so it's fine.
Vinegar.
It's fine.
Rosemary extract.
Probably fine.
That's the whole treat.
Yep. You know what? Simple's easy.
So yeah. I'm going to give the name of this one. This one's called Full Moon Kitchen Crafted Natural Dog Treats, and it's actually chicken jerky. So it's kind of like a little jerky form of the chicken. I don't know if dogs like it or not, but I just picked it because I like that it was a simple ingredient treat. Because some of the treats we look at in the ingredient list is just
There's like 15 crazy things. Why do you need 15 things for a treat? You don't.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nope. This is simple, easy. It has Dr. Pete's stamp of approval.
Yep.
All right.
Don't try to feed me one, but I'm good with it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we will wrap it up at this point.
Yeah, let's have a little outro music. Here's my boy again.
Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye. Yeah. Before he this is an old song. This is a high school song for me.
Yeah. Did you cover this song?
No, we never covered this song. This guy has a very unique voice. So you would only do things. You would generally only do things that were fairly simple and easy to learn. And this has other stuff going on. Yep. Good. Yeah. Well, just remember, we appreciate you guys showing up for us today. And just don't forget, treat the treatable. And then if you prevent the preventable, you won't have to treat the treatable. I'm dyslexic a little bit. If you prevent the preventable, you do not have to treat the treatable.
Exactly. Yep. So let's keep preventing the preventables.
Words to live by.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
You bet.